podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We are back for the JMS Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today we... it's all right, I'll introduce you, mate. That's all good. It's all good. He's jumped the gun. We are here with all intents and purposes, a really talented amateur and long-time journeyman now, obviously part of the Kent scene. He's not been with Kent anymore, but we have got Ricky Slick Rick Leach. How's it going, mate? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, thank you, mate. Not bad. I'm introducing myself now. Can't believe that jumped in way too early.
It's all right. It's all right. You're not the first. You won't be the last either. Cheers for joining us. Obviously, we'll talk about your career. We'll talk about how you ended up being a journeyman. I know that you had a decent amateur career and you're highly spoken about when we speak with boxers that have fought against you and stuff like that. What I'd like to do, strip it all back. How did you get into boxing?
To be honest with you, a lot of people don't obviously know this. I was a looked after child. So like when I went into obviously care and all that lot, my parents, obviously now, they were the ones what got me into it, took me down to my local club, and then from that day one, fell in love with it.
So
you fell in love with it.
How old was you when you walked into the club at first?
I was actually 10 at that point. 10, and I was quite nervous because my very first battle was representing Kent versus Derbyshire, and I actually stopped the kid in the first 45 seconds, and I was only a junior at that point, so I was nervous as hell. But it was good.
Did you find that because of, I'm guessing, personal situation, that you would have said that boxing would have been like an outlet for you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, and obviously that's why I do the job I do as well, obviously now when working in a school. I think that I had a lot of built-up anger. So like, I thought, let's go and control it and let's go to the gym and let's see where it takes me. And obviously, I think it's paid off a bit. I haven't done what I wanted to do, but I still enjoy it.
Guess get into that a bit later. You do your amateur. You start at 10 then, and you started as you started on the amateur side of it. Where did you go with it? Did you? Because I know you've done the schoolboys and ABAs, if I've done my research right.
Yeah, schoolboys, ABAs, I think back then it was like an NYCP. Then there was the million, there were so many championships. Like now, I think they stripped it right back, obviously, because obviously I run a boxing club as well now. Like they stripped it right back compared to what we used to be able to enter. But obviously went down, I was at Margate, I think at the time, Margate ABC. My dad obviously joined being the coach there. And then I don't think my boxing career really kicked off until I went and boxed under my dad. I think that I boxed at Margate, then I boxed at Ramsgate. No, it was Ramsgate, Margate. Then I went to Canterbury and then came back and boxed with my dad. So that's when it all kicked off for me, I think, at Isle of Thanet.
Yeah, you boxed for Kent and then come back, done the Thanet stuff. Did you win the schoolboys or...?
Yeah, I think I got to the finals or the semi-finals, I think. I represented England in England versus Scotland as well. I was a captain out there. I've captained a few teams out in Jersey. We used to do little trips to Jersey. And we used to like Kent versus Jersey and have like competitions out there. Do you know what? Going back to my amateur career, trying to remember everything I've done.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I thought obviously as amateur, I boxed like Lucien Reed, Charlie Hoy. I think Lucien Reed signed with, Frank Warren?
He was with Frank. I don't know if he's still now, but I think he was at the time. I know he was with Frank Warren.
That was an amateur. He was a good little amateur, he was.
So how was it like getting the, you got the letter to go to England then? How was it to box for England?
Oh, mate, amazing. Like, we was actually losing at the time. Because I think it was 4-3 to them. Like, out of how many people boxed. So I was the last fight on, nervous as hell. Thank God I beat the kid. So it ended up being, like, draw 4-4. But amazing. They gave us our own kit. We done, like, this parade as we got in the ring. Amazing experience. And, like, yeah. Amazing.
Did, was there any, like, did you get onto any the GB stuff, or was it just England?
No, to be honest with you, I don't know. But like, my brother obviously was a boxer as well, and I think out of both of us, if he stuck with it, I think he would have probably went further than me. He was more like aggressive, and he had a character about himself. I don't really have that. I think they look for the character and look for something that will sell, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't really have that, so I think that's what let me down a little bit as an amateur.
So you get into the amateur side of it then. You look to turn over 2014.
Yeah, how old was I then? Jeez.
I'll have to ask you. So you end up...
2014 it was.
Mm.
Weird.
How old were you then?
Me?
Yeah.
2000, mate, I don't know, I must have been 24, I think. With that bit, so I'm 23 now. Yeah, 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would have been. Yeah, you'd have been 23, 24.
I would have been 24.
Yeah,
24,
yeah.
So you, when, what was the crack? How did you get yourself to become a pro? How did you turn over? Like, what was you looking to do?
Well, as you know, like, do you know, obviously, you know, Billy Rumble, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From... Yeah, like, I used to go and do some training with him for, like, championships and all that lot, because obviously, you know, they know a lot of stuff in the boxing world, and they used to help me out quite a lot. And then he turned over pro, and his management, obviously, team, I thought, John, let's give this a crack. And I went with Miranda Carter, but obviously, first I had to go up and go to the British Border Control, sit there, never been so nervous in my life. It looked like Alan Sugar sat opposite me, questioned me all about my blooming, like,
yeah,
career. You done it, didn't it, Sam? It's
you have to take the diary up as well, didn't you?
Yeah, don't talk to me about the diary.
Wait, diary. Just a bunch of lies, really,
isn't it? I get on to that, because I got suspended. I get on to that. I've never heard something so funny in my life, but yeah. Spending because I was overweight, believe it or not. And anyway, went up to it. I had to go through my, like, training, everything. And then, believe it or not, I had to do a trial. And I don't understand, even to this day, I'm like, why did I have to do a trial? When, like, you get kids, like, go through the white collar bit and then have a few amateur and all that lot. Didn't. When I had over 70 amateur fights and they said, yeah, we just need to see how you are. I was proper shocked, in all fairness. But I was like, all right, cool. And even the person...
Where did you go for that? Did you go Peacocks for that?
No, Rumbles.
Oh, you went Rumbles? Oh,
yeah, yeah, they had... Peacocks. Is it? Yeah. Nice gentleman.
Yeah.
But he came down and he went, what are you doing? I went, mate, I don't even know. He went, yeah, you passed. So he didn't even really, like, he had a little look at me and he went, yeah, you passed. All right, cool. And then from that day dot, I had my debut in your call.
What was your amateur record before you went pro? I know I'm putting you on the spot. We had to work out your age a minute ago, so it's...
You know what? I think I lost about 20 odd.
Roughly 50-50.
Yeah, I'd say that because I had my first two, and then I had a little bit of a losing streak. I got in my own head for some reason, and I had a bit of a little losing streak. And, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. But talking about the amateurs, me and Martin Hillman box on the amateurs. Yeah, I really did say, because I boxed him as a pro as well. So I was a bit, but yeah, good lad, him.
Yeah, we've had him on.
He used to box with a body shot or something.
What made you turn pro? What, like, you just wanted to give it a go, or after?
You know, it's the name, isn't it? It's the name of going, oh yeah, I'm a professional boxer. Like, and to this day, like, I don't want to, like, any kid who wants to turn pro, I'll always go, yeah, do it. I don't want to, like, put a downer on it. It didn't turn out the best as I thought it was. It's not all glitz and the glam of what I thought it was going to be, what you see on TV.
Yeah,
as you know, so as you know, you watch on TV, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you do it and you turn over, you're like, when you have to go to selling tickets, I'm like, mate, we ain't the winners here. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. That's why I've done the journeyman role. To fall now, rather get in that ring, get beaten up for like, what is it, 12 minutes, go away with a bit of money.
Did you decide that straight away, or was it like because you had the fact that ticket selling weren't for you? You was like, fuck it, I'm.
Nah. So what happened was, my first pro fight, my first ever pro fight, I actually made 20 quid.
Darren
it
Price.
Was, it was a. Yeah, I said, Darren Price, don't talk to me about that fight. I didn't listen. In all fairness, I don't know what happened there. Don't even know. I mean, back with my blonde slick hair, what the hell was that even going on about as well? Like, don't ever throw up at that. It was awful. But I was at a midlife crisis at the age of 24. But I obviously I got the draw on that and I thought, what the hell? I thought I won it. Obviously I made 20 quid, so it was a bit of a down all day, if I'm honest with you. We had a lot of white collar shows going on at that point. A lot of my friends who used to do it, they were all boxing, that people were all going to them. So I picked a wrong time to box, if I'm honest. And then after I got a phone call from Miranda going, do you want to box on Sky? I was like, mate, do it. Do you know what I mean? Not realising. And obviously, they went, oh yeah, you're boxing Gamal. Yeah, I was like, oh, all right, cool. What's the worst going to happen? Do you know what I mean? So then after that, that was an experience, obviously, going there, boxing in Leeds Direct Arena under Josh Warrington, was it? I think was headlining at that point.
If it's Leeds, I can imagine it'd be Josh Warrington, yeah.
Yeah. Right, what a great... They paid for everything. I think the next day, I'm warming up with my own name on my locker room, cameras coming in, out, one experience. So even though I got stopped in 1 minute, 43 seconds, I was winning.
But you, I can imagine as well, you've gone to that second fight and like, oh, this is it, this is the life. And then,
yeah.
And then, yeah, you got yourself back into sort of, was that it? And you decided, this is it, I'm going to do the journeyman yet? Or is it the fact that
So basically, obviously, after that fight, Miranda, for some reason, she gave up promoting. I'm like, oh, great, what am I going to do now? So she handed back all contracts, because I think her biggest ticket seller was Billy. He, like, sold a load of tickets. And I think Billy, if I remember rightly, I think he gave up for a bit, and then she couldn't... I think he was the one holding up the shows. So then I was like, what am I going to do? So Martin, I think at the time, I could see that I think he was with Joe, but he just switched from Goodwin.
Yeah, so it's Joe Elfeed, yeah?
Yeah, Joe Elfeed, that's it. I can never pronounce his second name, so I'm glad you did. And I was like, all right, and he went, mate, this promoter, he was brilliant. He looks after the boxers. And then I thought, right, that's it, I'll go. And I went down to... where's the old gym? Rochdale, was it?
Rochdale.
The old one, the Army Barracks.
Oh, where? Brompton Barracks.
Well, that's it there. Went there, mate. Had a chat with Joe. Done some sparring. I'll tell you what, I've never been put from my paces in my life. Literally. I was in sparring, got hit with a body shot. He's like, get up. I heard you guys. I'm like, yeah, don't show that box that you're hurt. Now, from remember that day one of that him saying that to me, I've kept that. So that's how I trained my boxing. Listen, don't show the box that you're hurt. Even though I got knocked down the other day, showed him I was hurt, but we don't talk about that. But then I thought, that's how I'm signing with Joe. I just clicked with him. And then Joe said to me, what are you looking to do? Are you looking to be a journeyman or a ticket seller? And I went, to be honest with you, mate, I just want to make money now. I'm not even bothered about the record. I'm not bothered about... I got disillusioned by the whole thing. I was... Yeah, it was all talking about how, yeah, hyping me up before I turned pro, doing everything like that. And then when I realised how much you got to, like, sell just to make a little bit of money, I thought, nah, this ain't what I want to do. Do you know what I mean? I'm not stressing out. It makes you feel like you're begging people for their money.
Yeah.
And, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, again, I think on every podcast we've done, every episode we've done, ticket selling the hardest part of boxing. Every time. And I'll reiterate, and I don't like, obviously people be listening, I'll reiterate it every time, it's the hardest part of boxing. all day long. So your first fight would have been Jay Harris under Joe, then, I take it?
Yeah, Jay Harris, actually. That was on a Frank Warren show, live as well. So I was on a TV show. Traffic that day was a nightmare. So I had to make the weight to get down to that weight, and I can't remember what the weight was. It must have been about 8 stone 10 at that point, I used to be. Got there, he went, Rick, you went, yeah, sorry, mate, blah, blah. He went, you ain't even got time to warm up. I went, what? He went, yeah, you'll be in a minute, otherwise you're on last. I was like, nah. So I was literally eating a Mars bar while my hands were being wrapped, and then, got my gloves on, boom, walking down straight to the ring.
Ooh. Who drove you up there?
My dad.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, if it was Joe, Joe is the worst driver, I think, ever. So...
Don't even. it was my dad. He done quite a lot of my corners. But yeah, so, and that was a good little fight. I think I lasted the four rounds, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. 40-36.
Yeah, mate, I'll tell you what, it was good. Quick little kid. No power, like, he didn't really, but compared to that Gamalia fight, I thought, oh, mate, I'm going to either get stopped or what, but great little fight, that.
You had some names on that card as well, weren't you? You had Frankie Gavin, Lucas Brand, Nick Gemmon, Curtis Young, all that on that card as well,
Yeah, good little card, that.
Yeah, and that Gamalia fight beforehand, bloody hell, he ended up being what he's ended up being. Massive name.
Yeah.
And you fought him on your debut.
On his debut.
So then it becomes a case of, like, you're fighting every week. Lewin Nassar, Matthew Chanda, Tom Bell. Is it just a case of now, like, okay, I want to try it. I'm earning as much money as possible.
Yeah, that's it, mate. So I said to Joe, just keep me, and I was fit as well. Like, Joe, as you know, putting you through your paces, going down at Brompton, all that lot. He's pad work, sits down, like, give me a breather on it. Like, do you know what I mean? But no, he kept me fit, I think. And sparring with Martin Hillman kept me fit.
He's another fit lad.
Some of them got me, mate. Yeah, he is fit. If I was like, if I could get his fitness into me, I'd be laughing, but. Yeah, he good kid as well. I like him a lot of time for Martin Hillman. But it was a bit like that Matthew Chandler. Like, when I boxed him, come out all muscly. I thought, Jesus, this kid's going to stop me in a minute. But hit like a girl. I'm not joking you. The muscle and everything on him. And then when he hit me, I was like, oh, I do prefer the lighter weights, if I'm honest with you. I shouldn't be boxing at this high weight I am, but we'll get on to that.
Yeah. So you get to Medway Park against Avriaris Balsis?
Balos, yeah, something like that.
You come to your first win as a pro boxer. Was you a ticket seller then for that one, or was it just a case of...
So I did actually, in all fairness, I sold more tickets on that one than I did on my debut. I was like, what's going on here? But it was good. Like Joe said to me, he went, Rick, what do you want to do? Do you want to have a fire at home? And like, I'll get you on there and all that. And I went, mate, yeah, can I? And he gave me an opportunity, obviously, that not many like, what do you call it?
Promoters.
They'd be like, no, you're a journeyman. Just box on the road. Sold a few tickets for that. Got the win. Obviously got cut in the, I think it was the second round or the last round. I can't remember now. Received the cut. So I was panicking. And I was rushing to rushing in, trying to get the shots. And all my dad, all I could hear my dad was like, "Pick shots, don't rush in, because if you get the cut gets worse, they're going to end up stopping it." But that was a great little win. That
did
get the board off your back as well.
Yeah. Did your mindset change because of for that fight? So you, instead of going, because I know that the journeyman mindset is basically to try and survive and everything like that. Did the mindset change when you fought him and thought a bit more like, oh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually, like, give it some, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so obviously I was doing my training camp up at, with Martin. All the sparring for that was with Martin. I think I sparred a few other kids in there, but, yeah, I can't remember who it was sparring. But, yeah, different mindset. I knew what I wanted to go in there and do, and I think I told myself that stop, don't go on the back foot so much. Don't just guard up and move round. Be first and be a bit more dominant. And I think that's what I was being told. Joe was telling me, be more dominant. My trainer, be more dominant in there. And yeah, that changed my mindset completely after that. And it's weird, really. Like, when you do the German thing, you do tuck up and you do that. You're not there to get the win. You're there just to make the kid look good. And then when you're going from that into the fight, complete difference changer.
You had for a journeyman, an unusually large break of 5 months. And then was it a case of after you finished, get your cut healed and then crack on earning money again?
Did I have 5 months out?
It was 5 months then, yeah.
Mate, I don't even know. I must have been on holiday. I don't even know what I've been
there. See, because wow. That was in November, so it was the 28th of November 2015, and then you didn't fight until the 3rd of the 4th, 2016, in Derby at Pride Park.
Who did I have?
In the Sandra?
Oh, in the Sandra.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Sandra, yeah. I don't know what I was... Mate, I must have been chilling or something. I don't even know what I was doing on that. In all fairness, it might have just been time for that to heal and then obviously sparring, getting myself back ready. But yeah, that was a rough night boxing there, the hall and everything. I was like, is this really a boxing event? It was rough. I think they had metal detectors going in and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. And that's at the football stadium as well. I thought it'd be half decent.
Yeah, nah. It was like, what was the thing on that night? What was the... Obviously, I lost. Did I lose?
It was point... No. It was TKO.
Oh, no. Sorry, I've got the wrong boy. Wow, that's bad. Yeah, I've got the wrong boy. Yeah. So that... Do you remember Nicky Blackwell?
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Blackwell.
Yeah.
Do you remember his eye? That was the same period of when Nick Blackwell boxed Eubank.
Yeah.
If I'm on about... Yeah, so my eye, he headbutted me, and my eye came right out here. And every time I sneeze after, boom, it would all blow up with like blood. So he headbutted me. What round was it? Either second? Can't remember now.
Third.
All right. Yeah, the ref was like, nah, I'm done. He's seen enough because obviously my eye, I couldn't end up seeing that, but it was bad. Yeah, I remember that. I got the wrong event. No, that was a nice little venue, that. Derby one.
Yeah, probably the Doncaster Dome's the one you're on about. Joe would hate me. Joe being the Donny lad.
Where was it? I think it was Birmingham, my box, and I thought it was like, is there another person there like with a name Indy or something like that?
So I'm just sort of like going, we was going through. So I had Sean Ireland, you fought Ryan Garner. And then Connor Tung.
Oh, Ryan Gardner. He's a piranha. He boxes for Frank Ryan. That was live on TV as well. He stopped me, innit?
Yeah. He was pro
debut. Yeah, that was the biggest BS ever. Like, obviously, I don't know if I can swear, but yeah.
Do what you want, mate. Do what the fuck you want.
Fourth round, he literally, I was doing really well. And I'll tell you what, who's the Steve Bunce? He was chatting. He was winding up. And like, I was doing fine in there. I was doing fine. I was boxing the right. Yeah, he was coming out fine, all these combinations, looking smart and all this lot, but not one bit of it was bothering me or anything like that. Went to the fourth round. That is, this is fine. Like, I'm getting through this. It's all good. Then, who was he? The ref.
The ref was Ian John Lewis.
That's it, Ian John Lewis. I'm going to tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for him, so I don't want to speak badly of him or anything like that, because he's ref a few of my fights. He stopped it. He was like this, and I was like, are you actually joking? But I think I know why he done it, because I was fine back when they stopped it, but debut, Frank Warren, he's meant to be a high talent. They wanted to get the, do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, whatever. Couldn't believe it. Biggest BSM bullshit ever. That's all right.
Then you had Connor Tung at Worksop. That was his pro debut. That was the one where you got a cut on your left eye for an accidental headbutt, the clash of heads, if that's the one you were talking about.
Yeah, I can't realise how many times I've been actually a few cuts, but yeah, Connor, mate. Yeah, that's what I'd say about that kid. Connor, obviously one of Joe's lads, not the best, obviously. I think he just wanted that pro fight to say, oh yeah, I've had the pro fight.
Yeah. Then you come up against Russ Midgley.
Oh. Ellen
Road.
Best night of my life. Yeah, that's best night of my life. So turn up there. I was on weight. He came in three pounds over or something like that. And they went, I said, I want my money, he's come over. And it's like 100 quid a pound, isn't it? And they went, well, that's all what he's earned, 300 quid. Yeah, I still want it, otherwise I'm not going. And I felt bad, but mate, I didn't like the kid. I was like, yeah, I still want that. And then I beat him as well. So that was good, that was even. But I think that was the night Martin Hillman came up with me on that night as well.
His record compared to yours, though, was it like a journeyman versus journeyman type thing? Was he the home fighter?
Yeah, so they wanted to get a win on his hometown. But I'm not being funny. He weighs in. He's drinking a can of Coke, eating this, and I'm drink water or something. So like, anyway, got in there, mate. The most rubbish thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, it was bad. Fair play to him though. Like, do you know what I mean? He done a bit in the old journeyman role.
Yeah. So then you you had Tom McGinley's one of Joe's boys as well, isn't he?
Tom McGinley?
Yeah, if I remember rightly.
Good old Tom.
Okay.
I don't even know what I can say or can't say because, like, I don't want to jeopardise what I do, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
It's all like, yeah, and I don't really want to be like, but, mate. Yeah, tidy boxer, no power. Obviously, in my corner, I'm being told, just box, don't throw every shot, don't do nothing like that. Just let him get the rounds in. So I'm like, okay, make what you want out of that. Done that.
Yeah,
he got the win.
We're not here to jeopardise your licence, mate. So that's all I would say is that I would put if you're happy, if you want to wear on the side of cautious, it's fine. But when you retire, then we'll grab you. And then you can say whatever you want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mate. Don't even.
So you had then you're back on the road again. You got Diane Winters, Les Byfield.
Dwayne Winters.
Yeah, Dwayne. Is it Dwayne? Oh,
yeah, Dwayne Winters.
Yeah, Dan Zubinecki, Dan Neville, and you just carry.
Oh yeah, Dan. Dwayne Winters, obviously, so Dwayne Winters, I boxed him. Obviously, I came up to Bristol. That's when I came up. No, dear, when did I come to Bristol now?
This was 2017, or 16, the end of 2016 going into
2020. Yeah, Dwayne Winters. I'll tell you what, mate, I'll give him his due, because I think I lost by 2 points, was it? 37-something?
Yeah, 38-40.
Yeah, 2 points. God, I ain't the smartest at maths. But, I was doing good in the first two rounds. I went, Dad, don't worry about this, man. This is easy. But all of a sudden, boom, his fitness. Because him and Martin Hillman had a fight, didn't they? And but Dwayne's fitness, same as Martin's, comes out of nowhere. And I don't know how they can get that fit. I genuinely don't. But then I came out in the third round. He had this second... win from somewhere and just annihilated me the last two. I couldn't even keep up with it. So I was like, have the win. I'm done. Go back to journeyman.
So you had, Les Byfield, Zubinatsky, Neville, Manny Zumbar. Another journeyman that's around the scene, Jules Phillips.
Oh, yeah, Jules Phillips. Yeah, so he beat me, innit?
Yeah.
So he needed to get the fight to get a win. Vice versa.
So you had Harvey Helmsley, Imran Hussein, and then the Jules Phillips rematch. Little journeyman rival.
Yeah, basically, mate. We both wanted to get a win just to, like, you know, keep them boards off our backs, and we got it, thank God. Weirdly how it worked out that he got one on him where he lived and I got one where I lived, so it's all right.
I'm guessing it works out well for the both of you. But I remember it because I think I remember seeing him fight a few times as well, and him being in and around the journeyman scene.
Yeah, mate, did you see his knockout? Like, I don't understand. So the kid he got knocked out by, I was doing sparring with, and he's from Wales area. Oh, mate, and that knockout was horrible. I don't know if you've seen it, but I forgot who it was he boxed, but his dad was a good pro himself. Yeah, to this day, I still don't understand why he took that fight. They kept trying to get the fight with me, and I was like, nah, I'm all right. Like, I know I was doing sparring with him, but I know what to not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You stay away from. I was like, nah, I'll stay away from that one.
Then you had Monty Ogive, Ryan Walker, Hassam Ahmed. And then somebody that obviously we see the other against Hillman, Paul Roberts.
Yeah, Paul Roberts, yeah. He, tell you what, fast little kid, because he boxed Martin Hillman, and Martin Hillman, like, texted me about, like, what to do against all that. He's a fast little fighter, old Paul Roberts, but he don't like going on the back foot. If you push him back, don't like it. But that was a good little fight, in all fairness. Can't take away from Paul Roberts. Obviously, he came, he was game.
Yeah,
Triathlon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I weren't trying or nothing, but he got the win, and obviously, yeah. And believe it or not, I think that was his debut, Paul Roberts, and I was there to make him look a bit pretty, if that makes sense. So, like, I was a bit shocked that I had to, because when I got in there, I was like, mate, this kid's better than what, do you know what I mean, they're making out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
good.
So you had Paul Roberts. And then, Paul Roberts was a name that stood out because obviously he just won the Southern Area title. Chris Reyes, Hussein, I'm guessing these are just fights to get in, get yourself out there, earn money.
Yeah.
Billy Stewart.
I'll tell you what, Billy Stewart, that's another muggy person as well. Like, that was in Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah, Aberdeen, yeah.
Yeah, mate. Don't trust that matchmaker at all. He phones us up. Oh, yeah, I've got a kid. I can't remember if he was, I think it was every
second. Paul Graham.
Huh?
You're about Paul Graham, the matchmaker.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's like, yeah, I've got a kid, blah, blah, blah. Just want you to have you know, just make it look good. But I was like, yeah, cool. You won't get stopped up, mate. Came out, I think he stopped me first round. Because, yeah, when I know I'm on them sort of ones of, like, going in there, you know, making a show and all that lot, I don't even bother padding up or warming up. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no point. I did my warm-up in there, but he took, yeah. It was a joke, mate. He was, yeah. And I think there's no need for that because there's not... Journeymen are in there to do a favour for people. Like, don't be a dick and mug us off like that because it's unfair. Like, yeah, not like that.
So you had Sam Menzies, Sean Carnes, David White Jr., David
Seymour. Sean Carnes, I'll tell you what, me and Sean Carnes, that was a good little war. Liverpool then, I think.
Yeah, Liverpool, yeah. 38-39.
Yeah. He wanted a rematch. He weren't happy. In my personal opinion, I thought I won it, but obviously I'm going to think I won it because it's me. You know what I mean? I ain't going to go and think he won it, but we had a rematch and, yeah, he did beat me the second time. I didn't try as much, if I'm honest with you.
Then you
kind of lost the love of it.
I can imagine, because this is like the hardest sport when you're doing the hardest side of it. You come up against Lee Clayton in Middleton.
No contest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was funny thing about that. Well, it was, I was actually in the ring. So I've done my first round and I'm not going to say the name of who he manages in because he's well known in like in the thing. He's got quite a big following, so I'm not going to say anything bad. But put it this way, I was in there to, to make him look good. He was so-so, like, do you know what I mean?
And yeah.
When in there for the first round, he came out trying to stop me. I went to my dad, oh, do you know what, this kid, wait till the second round. As I went to go to the second round, the ref went, no fight. Oh, what's going on? Someone got stabbed in the crowd. The whole show stopped. But in all fairness, the kid got stabbed, but all I was worrying about was my mum. So I went to the ref, I went, do I still have to pay for this? Because I've done my round, like, do you know what I mean? And he's gone, yeah, you do, don't worry about it. You get your full payback. I'm like, good. No, I ain't even bored about the kid being stabbed, because I thought, I've travelled all the way up here, made the wait. Do you know what I mean? I want my money.
Middleton's outside Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently it's a really bad part.
I might have an idea of who it is. I've got an idea, but I might be wrong. But yeah. Off screen, I took that.
But they I think I had a rematch with him, and it was a fight this time, and we was actually headlining it, me and him, and I think I might have lost. It was either 37-38 or something like that.
38-39. Yeah, by 1 point.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, mate, it could have either been a draw. Or I was hoping it would have went my way. But listen, headlining, he came out. Who's that? The Rocky thing. The Apollo Creed? Yeah, is it Apollo Creed?
Yeah.
The black fella?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out dressed all up in that outfit and all that. It was a good little show, in all fairness, mate. Really good. Lively. Like, big shots coming everywhere. But yeah, he obviously nicked the win on that one.
Then you had Jack Budge, Ashley Lane. Jake Petit is another lad that's been about. I think he's a good fighter.
Yeah, I actually grew up with him in the old amateurs. He boxed my brother a few times. So when they said, oh yeah, can you box him? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I was getting from the crowd, I think they were calling me Ginger. Oh, you're Scouts. I'm like, I'm not Scouts. So it's only because I've got a Liverpool. The abuse I get from the blimmin' crowd, they were calling me Sherman. I'm like, man, all right. Do you know what I mean? It's all you lie about. I was loving it. I boxed on, what was another? Going back a few, that Jack Budge fight. That was a good fight, though. Joe Show, entertaining that. He came out, he blew himself out, though, in the first round, I think, because he was trying to stop me, because I think he's looked at my few fights, and he kept firing the same shot. The body shot, and I don't like the body shot. I hate it, so he kept running the same shot, but I think he tied himself out. That was a good little fight, me and him. I like that one.
Then
the other ones are.
You had Chris Bork, Neil McCubbin. Bloody hell, that's a name. Sam Larkin.
Oh, yeah. He's another ginger, two gingers sharing the ring. So, yeah, he weren't that good either, that Sam Larkin. But Chris Bork. He's another Frank Warren boy. That was just for Christmas. I have a thing. When I have a fight near Christmas, I kind of just want to give up. Like, I'm in that ring. I'm like, yeah, this is too much. I'll just give up. I'll take a knee or something. So that was what was with that Chris Bork. First round, mate, he was annihilating me. I'm not going to lie to you. And then second, I literally took a knee and the person went, what's that? I went, I'm done. I'm done. He can have the win, but... good little boxer. I think he's won a few things actually now, old Chris Paul.
You were in 2019 now, so we've gone from 14 all the way up to 19. So you had Luke Pearson's, Aaron Hayden, Petra Marga, and Kevin McDonald as well.
Mate, do you know what? Don't even remember. They obviously ain't left much on me because... That Aaron Hayden, if I remember rightly, he ain't really done much actually now. Because do you know what, weirdly, I always check my records. See what they're doing.
Yeah.
And some of them had that you give up, and I'm like, why have you done it? Like all that aggro going through selling tickets, like to get patents for it, and then you give up.
That's probably why though, because the aggro can weigh too much on people sometimes.
Yeah.
You see that with lads. Lads in and around when we speak to lads, the the ticket selling can be like, and they're just like, no, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Or they do what you've done and go, I just want to earn money.
Yeah, I love it. Boxing for that 12 minutes and go and get my little paycheck. I'm like, thanks, see ya.
Bye.
Yeah, bye, all that hard work.
Then you got Ross Cooksey, and then your rematch with Lee Caton, as we spoke about.
Yeah.
Then you come up against Zeki Hussain, another guy that's already been on the show with us on his second fight.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate. I like Zeki. Got a lot of time for him. We are turned pro together, actually, I think, me and Zeki.
Same promoter?
Same promoter, yeah. He's a good lad. I like him. And I think he, obviously, I'm not speaking, obviously, like, I hope you don't mind me saying, I think he had a bit of a hard time. Do you know what I mean? I think, like, in, like, personal things as well, I think, obviously, took him away from boxing a little bit, but I like the kid, so I'm glad he came back. He lost a lot of weight as well to box and all that lot. Yeah.
We spoke to him. He's been on the show, and we spoke to him, and I think he was quite open and said that, like, other things took him elsewhere and everything like that.
Yeah, good little boxer as well. He done actually right in the old amateurs, he did.
Yeah, he's similar. His amateur was similar to yours.
Yeah, yeah. Can't remember who he boxed for, but, mate, I wish it worked out for him because he, tidy little boxer, and, like, he caught me, in all fairness, he caught me with a good body shot. He must have known about my body, but he caught me with a good body shot in that fight. Good kid as well.
So then you had, so we're in 2019 now. We had George Brennan, Sean Keynes, David Seymour, Cam Shaw, Jamie Roberts.
No, I can't remember him. Who was the others?
George Brennan, Sean Carnes, David Seymour, Cam Shaw.
David Seymour. I think I boxed Cam Shaw. Rest in peace. He's dead now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went on holiday. Young as well, talented. He looks a bit like Canelo. He actually does. When you look at him, like a baby Canelo, good little fighter as well. I was obviously in there making him looking pretty and all that. But he could fight, so I don't understand why. But yeah, he went on holiday. I think he was on a jet ski or something. Boom. Or he's snorkeling, one of them. Yeah, his manager told me, but can't remember. So yeah, he died. Who was the other ones I had?
That was David Seymour was the other one. Sam Carnes, David Seymour.
Yeah, David Seymour, wow. I think in there again making him look. He was trying to get all big and a big shot in with his left hook. He went down. And I mean, when he went down, I looked over because the person who arranged it looked at me going, what are you doing? And I was like, but his crowd were taking the mick out of me in there. I think they were calling my dad fat and all this. Like, they're as rough as you. Like, oh, look at him. I'm like, mate, what's going on? So I hit him. And I did, in all fairness, I didn't mean to connect the way I did. He went down. So all I was doing was, please get up, because otherwise it made me look bad that I'm in there and I'll just knock this kid out. But nah, good little fight, but nothing special.
You had James Roberts and then a guy called Carl Youssef, who was 15-0 at the time.
Yeah, can't remember. I think I do remember him, but nothing, yeah, no. If they don't leave a print on me, I'm like...
Yeah. So you had Joshua Johns, then Martin Hillman.
Oh, I don't remember him.
Then we had Martin Hillman. You had Sufyan Ahmed, and then Michael Gomez Jr. Michael Gomez Jr. is a big, big name as well.
I'll get on to him. Martin Hillman, so like Joe phoned me up. So obviously I beat Martin as an amateur back in the old amateur days when we must have been freaking 40-something kilos or whatever it was anyway, because we was light. And then I get a phone call from a manager. He's like, Rick, do you want to find Martin Hillman? I'm like, man, I trained with this kid. Like, I've become good friends with him through when I was down in Kent, and we had some good spars. It was quite, we always said it'd be interesting to see what it'd be like in the old pro game, see how we both do. And Joe went to meet John to fight him. I was like, well, does Martin want to fight me? Like, I don't know how he sees that. I don't want anything that I'm calling him out or something like that. And he was like, no, he's game for it. I was like, oh, then cool. I think he was coming back from a hand injury at this point, if I remember rightly. I can't remember. So it was a good little test for him, I think, because he didn't box for a while. And yeah, obviously he won, so I was a bit annoyed, but he won. I'm hoping we have a third one at some point, if I'm honest with you. I don't know, obviously, if that'll ever happen now, because he's moved on a little bit now, hasn't it? Boxing these journeymans, he don't really do that much no more. But hopefully we get another one. Hopefully I make it right, because, yeah, I weren't happy, but he's a good lad, and I'm glad we got the win.
Yeah, but if you're going as Ricky Leach, the non-journeyman, then I'm sure you could get the third one going. Because I know he wants them good fights himself, doesn't he? So,
mate, listen. As much as I think if I turn up and I think if I train my art, yeah, no, it's very possible. I don't think he would touch me the way like he did then. And I don't want to speak badly of him because I like the kid. And I'll tell you what, I want him to win as much as he can in this, and I'm just gutted it's not working out for him at the minute, because of all the boxers I've been in there with or I've met, he's got to be one of the nicer kids I've ever liked. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I know that if I train.
Yeah, Martin, Ricky still can shoot him, mate.
You look at you, Rachel.
I'm
not after him, but no, he's a good lad.
I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah, it would be a good little fight. I'd have to train though, because at this moment, being 10 stones, I mean, that ain't happening.
You should get a couple of, do it the opposite way and go like, oh, I'll get a few wins and then go get your southern area.
Oh, mate, John, I love that. Do you know what, I said to Joe, if I ever box for southern area, or even like, I actually did box for them old, do you know the continental belts or challenge belt when they
were
Done a little 8-rounder for one of them, didn't I? But yeah, I think he won it by, I think back then, I think it might have been 3-part, I can't remember, that was way back. But yeah, imagine that for a southern area. I'd love to box Mike for a southern area, but I'd have to get a few wins, pay jobbies just to give me a few wins and then. I know I beat that Martin
Hillman. Then you come up against Michael Gomez Jr. He's
Yeah, mate. If I'm honest with you, he helped me through that. Like, I'm not even joking you. Like, I was like, wow. So talent, speed, power, the lot. And I was like, wow. And I don't understand. He must have been having a good night, because literally, he could have stopped me a few times. I'm going back to the corner, I'm going, Dad, this geezer can stop me. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't know if it was a case of him getting the rounds in. I don't know.
Potentially.
So he must have been trying to get the rounds in for something, because I'll tell you what, mate, that kid, because is his dad, wasn't his dad a pro?
His dad was the one that used to come out with the old Mexican hat and... I think he fought a few of the good lads, potentially Ricky Hatton, if I can remember rightly. But he was really good on the domestic scene.
Yeah, he did. Mate, good kid. And he's actually won a few things, actually, now I think old Gomez.
I think he's done all right. I know I watched him on Sky a few times.
Yeah.
You had Lewis Wood, Alex Murphy, Michael Walters.
Lewis Wood. That was a good little. I met Phil Foden that night as well. Good little night that was. I think that was after COVID. That was my first fight back after COVID, I think it was.
Yeah. So your Michael Gomez Jr. was in. Yeah. So that would have been a year and a half later.
Yeah. Very weird.
Talking about COVID, then, how did that year and a half layoff affect you?
Oh, mate, affected me big time. I went from 9 stone to 10 stone 8. So I mean, I was enjoying myself. I'm eating here, but the board didn't like it. If I'm honest with you, it affected me big time. And I think, like I said, I think it affected everyone. Not being able to train, like the mental health, working in a school as well, like. Yeah, the kids were struggling big time. And I think me not doing the boxing myself, I think, don't like using the word, but the mental health side of it, and like I use that as an outlet, and not to be able to do that during that whole year or whatever it was, awful. So that's why I think I put on weight, and I still am paying for it now.
Did you find also the fact that you're not getting better, when you got to get back into it, it become difficult as well?
I've not trained, and this ain't even like, I've not trained since that. I've been getting in that ring, and that's how dangerous it is without even training. Like, and so when I boxed at Lewis Wood, I came out there, obviously we having the face mask on and everything. That was, I'd done a warm-up. One man was like, I'm done. So I went out there, I literally took a lay down in the ring just to get through that round of it. I missed him with a shot, and I just laid on the floor, and the rest like, get up. And I was like, oh. He was an awful ref as well, because he don't like holding. He likes you to box. As a journeyman, we like to hold. He don't like none of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was hard.
So then you had Alex Murphy, Michael Walton, Lennox Legru.
That kid there, dick as well. Don't like him at all. That was his debut. Oh, mate, biggest prick ever. And his trainer, I don't even mind even saying it, because he's a prick as well. Because I'll tell you what, they phoned up saying they want to, you know what I mean, Sam, they want something where I'll go in there and all that lot. And I was like, yeah, cool, don't worry. David Earn, they want him to get the win. But yeah, that's cool. Turn up. We even spoke to each other, shook hands, everything, mate. I was like, cool. Got in there, and I've never seen nothing like it. Like I said, I don't warm up. And he stopped me, second round, perforated my ear, all this lot. Yeah, biggest dick of boxing ever. And then after in his interview, they're going, oh, you just stopped a kid who ain't been stopped in 6 years, blah, blah. Yeah, he went, yeah, I'm making a statement, blah, blah. And I thought, what a dick. He obviously was trying to do that, so then that way he can then go up in a bit of a ranking just to try. Yeah, prick. Don't like that kid. And I'll tell you what, I hope he gets found out later on, because they're handpicking opponents for him anyway, so yeah, don't like him.
You had Jimmy Peckham then as well. He's a lad, Maidstone lad.
Yeah, little Jimmy Peckham, yeah. Good boxer.
Look,
charming.
I'll move on.
Yeah.
Lewis Morris, Lewis Roberts, Ted Barnby.
Oh, yeah, do you know what, mate? A lot of them, I think, debutants, I think they were some of them.
Yeah.
Ted Bambi, Wales. That was a TN14 show, and I'll tell you what, give TN14 their due. They do a good little small hall shows. Like, that was the very first show I've ever had, like, these things shooting up or whatever they do, like the smoke.
The production and stuff.
Yeah, that's the production, yeah.
Yeah, we obviously, as we've gone to their shows as well, they're jumping on our podcast, but they production's been really impressive. Like every time I've spoke to them, their production looks decent. And obviously, when we see you up there in December, the production was slightly different to the first show we went to. And I was like, it still looks really good. And for a small hall show, you want to feel the bollocks as a boxer, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mate, and I'll tell you what, like I said, like, that is why I got into the boxing, that sort of feel. When I even went up to the man, I don't know his name, but he always says hello to me, and I always speak to him, but I'm rubbish with names. And I said to him, mate, you must spend a lot to
deal with this. Is it John Frefroy? Frefui. I'd have to remember. There's no way. It's Frefui.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be. And he always looks after me, don't ever charge anyone like who I bring with me to like come in, like if I want to bring a few spectators. Mate, good as gold. And also the bonus thing, he does give good little pace to the old journeyman. Like, mate, it is good. He's a good
We'll see you there when the show's coming up, shall we?
Yeah, mate, I literally said to him, even though I got stopped, but anyway, I said just try and keep getting me onto them shows, because, mate, yeah, he's a good little man, him.
So then you come up against Leo Erlanga, Fred Hussein.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
I can't really say much, because you know we trained him, haven't it?
I don't know
Trent. Ben Davison.
Oh, really?
Ben Davison.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say it because obviously he's still active holder, Ben Davison, and all this lot. Good trainer. When I spoke to him before, spoke to him on the phone, everything like that. The kid is managed by Lee Wood. Lee Wood, is it? The top pro?
Yeah, yeah, but the lads that just knocked out Warrington.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, so Lee Wood manages him, but Ben Davison trained him. And, mate, I'll tell you what, good. I just like to even see Ben Davison and Lee Wood sitting in the crowd. Like, I didn't even care I was in there with old. And I was enjoying myself, but my hands were down, I was flicking out the jab. Mate. And they also, that Lee Wood angle over it actually did do a little bit beforehand. He did box a few people. I think he might have went for like this title or something like that. But yeah, good little experience that. I was still a bit nervous. I thought they were going to be mugging me off. But yeah, that was good.
Then you had Fred Duchain, Bradley O'Connor, Frankie Story, Ronnie Nicolats. Nicolats?
Yeah.
That's a Brentwood, that.
Frankie Story, he was a good little E-yard. But this is where I started moving up.
Yeah.
So I got called up to the board at some point. Obviously, I didn't really take this too serious. I thought it was all just going to be, Rick, what's going on and all this stuff. So I was on the, I think the night before I ripped my little training log out, what I've been doing all my life, literally, and turn up and I give him my diary. Joe sat there, I've never felt so awkward in my life, and then he chucks the diary back and went, what's this? Oh, my training log. He went, really? I went, yeah. And then, mate, I'm not even joking you, I've done it. He went, this is like you literally have done it the night before. I went, no, this is what I'll do. Even though I was sat there trying not to talk, because I actually did do it the night before. And he's telling me off. He's going, you put on over a stone. I went, yeah, I'm back on my diet. Bear in mind, in my bag next to me, I've got a bottle of Fanta, crisps, all this stuff. I'm going, yeah, I've started my diet and all this. But, mate, I've never been so, like, scared in my life. And all these people have refed me, like, judged me, all sat there. But in all fairness, it was an eye-opener, because even... Who is the man who runs... runs
Border? Oh, don't.
Well, the one that sits in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Like the old admission, isn't it?
Mick or something, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, Mick. Yeah, Mick. So Mick Collier. Mick Collier or something?
Collier, yeah, that's him.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, mate. He... Give his due, he's lovely guy. He's like, Rick, mate, I don't want to see you hurt in there. You've put on over a stone. Obviously, that was when my dad... my mum and dad got divorced because he decided to dip his dick in some other woman. Like, do you know what I mean? Don't even, like, mate, bear in mind, our caravan is on a caravan site where we are. We own it. Our caravan's here, and the woman he was sleeping with was just right here. And we used to, I literally, the weekend before, I was cooking our kids' freaking burgers on the barbecue. Like, literally. And I'm like, are you joking? What is going on? And then, he only got found out because, obviously, you know, my parents do fostering. He only got found out because, like, one of our foster kids kind of dropping it in to my mum. And she's like, so my mum put two and two together, phoned him over. He's like, yeah, yeah. So then I phoned up the woman's husband. I freaked all this on next thing. My dad's phoning me up, threatening me and all this. Oh, what have you done, blah. I'm not being funny. And I said to Matt, it takes two to tango. I'm not blaming my dad. I'm not blaming that. I'm blaming both of them. Like, they both knew they got husband and wife. Why get involved? If you don't like each other, just split up. But anyway, he's a dick. I can't stand him, I admit. And it found out. And he only ever messaged me, like, when my and dad split up, to know when I was fighting, just so he could get a bit of money off me. He was like, Rick, when are you fighting next? Because... I need some money. I'm like, Dad, you're working. He only ever used me for the money, and he used to take quite a bit off me as well every time I bought. So, not no more.
Yeah. Me.
But anyway,
we've got Kieran Tarlington, Michael Walton, Jordan Pryor, and Jake Turner.
Michael Walton, I think.
I was going to say these are your fights like last year, this year type thing.
Isn't it? Wow, maybe I need to give up then, because I can't. But no, that Michael Walton, I think I boxed him twice, so he's changed management. His kid pulled out. Who was it? Who did I fight before that, Michael Walton?
You did, yeah. You did fight Michael Walton. So you fought Kieran Tarlington in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, that was in Glasgow. So I think the next day I was on my way back. I get a phone message from that Michael, and he was like, mate, my kid's just pulled out. Can you, like, come in and, like, fight me? I was like, yeah, right. Bit of money. I was like, Joe, try and get as much as that out of them because they need me. So try and get as much money as you can out of them. So, yeah, we got a good little bit of money out of that. And, who was the manager? Who was the promoter? Thomas Stalker.
Oh, yeah.
He put that show. And I'll tell you what, he was, like, thanking me so much. Obviously, Joe knows him and all that lot. Another good little fight, but nothing special.
And then you had your last one where we were there, the Arnie Dawson fight. Little baby face assassin.
Yeah, man, that was good. Do you know what? Yeah, and I'm not even just saying this. Like, he generally did not hit hard. I'm not just saying that. I've been in that ring with harder people in my time. Yes, I was overweight. I mean, I freaking, like, it looked like I had tits in there. I was watching myself. I was like, mate. And from that day, I literally looked at myself and looked at the recordings of it. And I've decided to myself, and I said to Joe that I need to get my weight off. I've got a fight on the 10th of February. I've actually got a few lined up.
You got a fight on the 10th?
February.
Oh, we've got one at Rio Pierre on the 24th.
Yeah, yeah, I'm boxing then as well. So Sanagar phoned me up here and... I actually phoned about yesterday, make sure the fight's going on ahead still, and yeah, it's still going ahead. But that Arnie Dawson, so yeah, I came in a bit heavier. Jesus, a lot more heavier. And it was, how can I say, like, what, they've done it to me before. So there's a big fella, I don't know his name, and I ain't going to mention name because I don't want to, like, bad mouth any of them because I'm still active. He was like, yeah, can Ricky do this fight with Arnie? Not a puncher. I just want to get through the rounds. We're not looking for a stoppage or anything like that, blah, blah, blah. I was like, cool, yeah, I'll do it. So when I walked onto that, I think it was a right hook because I keep watching it. I literally dropped my left. I'd done the first shot and I connected with the first one, my left hook. And he realised, he saw what I'd done. Every time I throw my hook, I'd drop it and then throw it. All he done was a simple step back and boom, gone. But I got up and I was laughing because I was like, yeah, that was a good shot, actually. Fair play on him. Went back to my corner and I knew straight away what I had in my head I was doing. They're talking to me. I won't even listen to them because I knew in that second round, the minute of the opportunity I could get, I was taking a knee. I'm done, like, do you know what I mean? It's Christmas. I didn't want to get it. I'm unfit. Didn't train. Didn't do nothing. So I thought, and I think when I watch it back, the kid didn't even hit me. I took a knee, so it looked so dodgy as hell. And I was just like, yeah, I was done. I basically was like, done. Took my money, enjoyed Christmas. And yeah.
So we, you've had 76 pro fights then. Who's the best person that you come up against?
There's been a few, like, I'd say, I didn't really talk much about him, but Ash Lane, because he's now won a title, and he's actually boxing, I think, for an English, I think. Ash Lane, who else? Chris Bork and Ryan Gardner, them active three.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gamal Yafai, that was just a different class. So I'd say them four people, obviously, the outstanding names of what they are, and obviously, you know, they are doing bits now. I'll say they have got to be like the hardest people I've boxed against. And I'd say, do you know what? I'm glad I shared the ring with them. And I've shared a ring with quite a few good names. So when I retire, I'm not done yet. I was actually going to retire that far after looking at myself, and I thought, nah, I'm done, but I ain't done yet. There's a few more fights I want, and a few more, you know, I want to try and get to 100. But I don't think that's going to... Because I'm forgetting things as well. Like, everyday things I just forget.
Yeah.
So,
What about the, venue? Which is the best venue that you've boxed at?
Leeds Direct Arena. Only because the experience and the fact that, you know, they were going, you're live in 3, 2, 1, and then that camera's it. I've never felt, I thought I was a celebrity. I was like, check me out with my blonde slick hair and all this lot. But yeah, it was quality. Like, it was quality. And the fact that all them people, I don't know how many seats it holds, but yeah, it was amazing. I've never felt so nervous either. Like, it was amazing. And yeah.
Well, what we like to do with all our guests, sort of as we at the end, is try and pick your perfect boxer from different attributes. Gonna put you on the spot here, Ricky. Gonna put you on the spot here. Yeah. So if I said who's got the best footwork, who would you like? And it could be past or present. It doesn't matter. You can pick whoever you want. So who's got the best footwork?
See, I've got two. You want to top pros, yeah?
Whoever you, as in, it could be like, say, like Roy Jones Jr. It could be Canelo. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. It's very hard because I like that. I'm going to say three because obviously I think Mayweather, obviously, listen, 50, he is very clever. He made his money and he actually did do a lot of things with his foot and upper body movement.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't get up, but he's very good with his footwork. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Then you've got that Lavachenko, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Another brilliant footwork. And Canelo. The way Canelo moves his head, but gradually stepping in. Before you know it, you're on them ropes. So, like, yeah. If I had to pick one, I'd have to go pretty late. I know, like, for Mayweather, I'd say if I had to pick the one who could do the whole movement with his feet and all that. Move around the angles and all that lot.
What about punch power? Now we're putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you have. Listen, as he's my all-time favourite, I'm going to say Ricky. I love that man.
Boxing IQ?
Tell you what, who don't really get much of a mention, and I think... do you know Prince Hassim?
Yeah. Coast.
Yeah, I used to watch him when I was younger, and he was partly why I actually got involved with why I wanted to be like doing the boxing. The way he would just his head movement, everything. So yeah, I'd say him.
Chin.
Oh, me? No joking. No, not me. But me, I get not. Chin. Who can I say? I'll tell you what, let's go with the old Tyson Fury because he gets it a bit and don't. And the way he done with Dan O'Rourke, mate, to get up from that.
What? So, about yeah, I'll go. Defensive work.
I like that. Have you heard of Bovell?
Yeah, Dimitri Bovell.
Yeah, I like him. And the way he moves, he's another one with his footwork and all that, actually. I like him.
And then the last one is attacking prowess.
Attacking. Mate, you know what? I can't. Let's go Canelo because he likes to attack. He's an attacker.
No, thank you. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I want to call out a few boxers. One, Martin Hillman.
You've done nearly a decade in the sport, ain't you?
Yeah, mate. Literally. And I love it. Do you know what? I still want to carry on.
You've done, from what I'm reading off the stats, you've done 294 rounds.
Is it?
Fucking hell, mate.
That's a lot of rounds.
How many times have I been stopped? Is it 7?
8.
Oh, bloody hell. Eight. Yeah, it ain't too bad. Do you know what I mean? 8.
I mean.
Yeah, that's mad, Sam.
294 rounds. Okay. Play golf or something, mate. It's so much easier.
I'll tell you what, I think, because I forget, I'm running this boxing club as well. We don't charge no juniors or anything like that. Like, it's brilliant, but trying to give my boxing, like, IQ, or whatever you want to call it, over to them. I'm loving it. And now seeing them box, and I think that's why my training's got a little bit.
What gym's that? Yeah. We could put that out on the social.
It's called Sarton Boxing Club.
Yeah?
No, yeah, yeah. It's up in Arcliffe. Obviously, we're always looking for, like, sponsorship and all that lot, but we don't charge no gym because it's in a deprived area in Arcliffe. Crime is up, everything. We have 32 kids on Friday, and that was a, nightmare.
Hard work.
And the parents, this is how bad it is. Yeah, the parents come in, drop their kids off, they go into the pub, round the corner. I'm like, oh, nice, thanks.
Cheers.
Like, joke.
Now, thank you for joining us, Ricky. Obviously, I'm sure we'll be seeing you at some of these shows.
Hopefully we'll have a rematch with Uncle Martin.
I'll phone him tonight.
Yeah, he's going to feel I got a problem with that.
Tag him on the caption.
Yeah, it's one-on-one, isn't it? Like, come on, there's got to be a third.
Yeah.
So, for everyone listening, if you enjoyed the episode, come support us on Patreon, £3 a month. Also, all our socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube, we're on there. Like, comment, let's get it going. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.